We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Hour. I am your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. I hope you're not too inundated with the snow. You're in a good, safe place. If you're on the road, drive very slowly. Keep both hands on the wheel. Don't do anything unusual. And if you're at home, sit back, grab that cup of joe, listen in. It was so cold today, I froze my iPad and my iPod. And that's not even a euphemism. I leave my iPod in the car, which has like various things that I listen to when I'm driving around. Got in the car this morning and the battery was frozen. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring a rebroadcast with Sarla Bronson, who wrote a book called The Gilded Cage, a book about the heroine Esther. Everybody knows about the book of Esther. Purim. Purim's coming up. It's less than 3 weeks away. We'll be talking about what's doing in Jewish Ferntel Purim. This hour will be featuring wonderful music from all genre of Judaism. The portion of the week is the portion of Mishpatim, lots of laws, lots of mitzvahs in Exodus 21 and following, a fantastic Hasidic story, tremendous deep meaning. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The U.S. State and Treasury Department put Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh on their terror watch list. The move freezes Haniyeh's assets and bars U.S. citizens and companies operating in the U.S. from doing business with him. Israeli forces carry out airstrikes targeting several sites following the launch of a rocket into Israel from Gaza. There were no injuries on either side, just to show you that this is the second story, not the first. It means it wasn't the lead. It's just like, okay, another rocket from Israel. Yeah. A bill is making its way through Iceland's parliament that would ban circumcision of minors. There are only about 100 Jews living in Iceland, but rabbis are concerned that such a law could spread to mainland Europe. Denmark is currently debating a similar law. Law was passed, speaking of Europe and laws, a law was passed in Poland prohibiting Nazi concentration camps in Poland, calling them Polish. There was a major movement in Poland that maintains that Poland had nothing to do with the Holocaust. There were close to 3 million Jews living in Poland before World War II. Now there are about 5,000, most of whom are Russian expats. Anti-Semitism rose 3% in England in 2017, with 1,382 acts of anti-Semitism reported against Jews. So most of the stories here are talking about how bad Europe is. Anyway, but it's a little bit of good in Europe. The Louvre Museum in Paris put 31 Nazi-looted paintings on permanent display in an attempt to find their rightful owners. Ways to prove ownership include old family photos, receipts, or testimonies. Some 296 Nazi-looted paintings are stored at the Louvre and remain unclaimed. And the only thing my grandmother brought out of Europe was a teapot. Anyway, that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program. running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have Sarla Bronstein, the author of The Gilded Cage, Queen Esther's Untold Story, online. How are you today, Sarla?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank God we're doing very well over here. So Purim is coming up. So this is definitely what we refer to as something appropriate for the time, the story of Esther. So before we get into the book itself and the story of Esther, which we somehow always seem to find a new angle to talk about Purim and Esther and the whole story every year here on the Jewish Hour. So tell us about Sarla Bronstein.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm a middle child, but I say it as a joke because I'm number 9, one of 17.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was always something that I would say to get a reaction. I grew up in Italy. And once I got married, I moved to New York, and then we moved to Davis, California, where my husband and I work with the Jewish community and the university.
Mm-hmm. That would be UC Davis, I'm assuming?
Yes. And I have 7 sons of my own, and so I'm running a little fraternity here.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's pretty much.
And with all that, you have time to write books. Well-researched books, as a matter of fact.
More than just time, I would say it was more of a, you know, a drive that even though I didn't have much time, I would steal, you know, small hour here and there because I was very motivated to sort of set the record straight. There's a lot of movies and stories and novels that have been written on Esther and from any and every angle, from Hollywood to, you know, R-rated versions to cartoons. But none I felt that truly gave Esther her voice. It's a bit like having men describe what it feels like to be pregnant and, you know, go into labor as opposed to a woman who has gone through it. So I wanted the story of Esther to be written from a perspective of a deeply religious and observant woman, which Esther was.
Okay, so there are many, many commentaries on the Book of Esther, but you presented this as a novel. Why is it
right.
A novel, or like we call it, would we say it's historical fiction, or it's still has this idea of like a story that we're reading? Why not present it as a commentary?
Because there have been written some stories on Esther, written as almost like documentaries or commentaries, but I felt they were very dry, and I wanted the story to be told in a way that people would be able to appreciate it and also relate to Esther as a very real person. If we want to learn and be inspired by someone, we need to relate to them in some sense. So I didn't make up too much of my own. I pretty much followed the classical Jewish tradition that we have on the Book of Esther. I mean, one thing that people need to realize is that the Book of Esther was written while Ahasuerus was what they know him as, Xerxes, I guess, was still alive, and they were still under his rulership. So they couldn't really write everything they felt. It had to be written in a way that it wouldn't offend his sensibilities. So a lot of it, any seeming grammatical error or redundancy, is not there purely for poetical effect, but it's there to written as in code, to so that you should be able to read between the line and the lines. And the code is very much like the code that's used in Talmud, and the commentaries go through it and say, this is, you know, from this apparent grammatical mistake, this is what you really learn from it.
Could you give us an example of a redundancy that would indicate that somebody reading would say, hey, what's this all about? There must be something deeper here, Sarla?
Right. So straight in the beginning it says, and it was in the times of Ahasuerus. He is the same Ahasuerus who he was the ruled over 127 provinces. And so the question is, why repeat he's the same Ahasuerus as opposed to the time of Ahasuerus, who ruled over 127 countries? So the sages say that in case you think that in the beginning Ahasuerus was against the Jews and then he became pro-Jews and became, you know, an ally, don't be mistaken. He was the same Ahasuerus from the beginning till the end. He didn't have a change of heart. He was the same narcissistic, you know, tyrannical in a way, king who did everything that was politically expedient for him. And so at one point it was good for him to try to get rid of the Jews. At another point was, you know, it better for him politically to help the Jews. So it wasn't that he suddenly became a friend of the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're just joining us, our guest today is Sarla Bronstein. She's a Chabad representative in Davis, California, written a book called The Gilded Cage, Queen Esther's Untold Story. One of the things that just like slapped me right in the face when I started reading this was the word Esther. Now, I had been raised that the word Esther means hidden, and it comes from the verse, V'anechi haster aster espanai, God says, I will hide my face. And here it is. The gates of Ishtar have always fascinated me, especially now in Detroit, in the DIA. If you're ever in Detroit, you have to go see it. They have actually a piece of the gates of Ishtar. It is really flipped out to go stand in front and look at this thing. The relationship between the word Esther and Ishtar. So which is Esther called Ishtar, or is Ishtar called Esther? How does it work, Sarla?
Well, the way it worked in those days was that much like nowadays, if you walk down the street, any Italian guy will you know, call you, hey, Bella. Not that your name is Bella, but Bella in Italian means beautiful. And it's just a way of calling you, you know, sort of endearingly. In those days, Esther, people who interacted with her would call her Ishtar, because it was a goddess of beauty, and because she was so beautiful, that's what they call her, a bit like the Italians nowadays call people, women, Bella, refer to them that way. And because she was referred to that most of the time, when she had to go to the palace and hide her identity, Mordechai felt it was most appropriate and felt natural to name her Esther, one, because most people already knew her by that name, and second, also because by divine providence, Esther had very poignant meaning in her own life, that she was hiding, and that the divine intent in the beginning for her being forcibly taken to the palace was also hidden.
Now, the word Esther herself, it doesn't say in the story of the book of Esther that she was beautiful. It says, Matzachain be'inei kol ra'eha, that she found grace in all that found. So I'm thinking grace. I'm thinking she had like a regalness, or maybe like my bubby who could really cook really well or something like that. But it doesn't say anything about beautiful.
Well, she was beautiful because she's listed as one of the most beautiful women that ever was in the Talmud, among Sarah and Rachel and Becca and Abigail. And Esther is listed there as one of the most beautiful women. So she was beautiful. However, she wasn't a young girl. Some opinion holds that she was in her 70s. The youngest opinion is that she was in her 40s. But she definitely outdid all the other contestants because of her inner beauty that shone forth. Mm-hmm. And that she was able to... People related to her in a way that they felt like she was one of her own. And that's why she found grace in everyone's eyes, because of her inner beauty and her inner peace.
Now, so one of the things that I noticed is that this novel is very well researched as far as commentaries and sources and insights into the Megillah. And there is a plethora of material which could have been included in The Gilded Cage, Queen Esther's Untold Story, but wasn't. Did you have some sort of a limit in space? Was there some kind of criteria that it got incorporated into the book?
No. What happened was that originally I thought I was going to write the story from a third perspective, maybe a servant at the palace, but... I was encouraged by members of a writing group that I attend that it would be more compelling to write it from Esther's point of view. And as they did, she couldn't be everywhere. So there were parts that I couldn't include because it was strictly from Esther's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Sarla Bronstein, who has written a book called The Gilded Cage, Queen Esther's Untold Story, as he has insights into it. Esther is one of those champion heroines which are mentioned in the Bible. There's not a lot of lady heroes in the Bible. It seems to be very much male-dominated. So if you could tell us, tell us about heroism and why Esther stands out.
One of the main drives to write about Esther was because I felt she was shortchanged in what people described her sacrifice was. That she risked possibly, losing her life by going to the king when at that time the law was that if you came to the king unannounced, then you were subject to the death penalty. But one could say, she was the queen and she was beloved. She risked, but, there was a chance that she could have been spared too. And the truth is that her sacrifice went beyond just maybe risking her life. She was putting on the line not just her physical life, but also her spiritual life, in a sense, in that she was put into a situation where it wasn't clear whether what she was doing was completely right. It could have been very, very wrong. And if it would have been very, very wrong, then she would have forfeited her share in the world to come, her possibility to ever be with Mordechai again, and she had the courage to do that for her love of the Jewish people.
But Esther, everybody else, it's at the book ends, and everybody lives happily ever after. But it doesn't talk about Esther. She's still Queen Esther. She doesn't go back and say, well, listen, I'm Mordechai's niece, and really I was married to him, and I'd really like to, leave and go home and go back to my Jewish lifestyle and live happily ever after with my husband. That doesn't happen to her. She is still Queen Esther, so the sacrifice for her continues, Sarla.
That's right. That's why it's called The Gilded Cage, because for her, while everybody was celebrating their redemption, she didn't really, she was still prisoner in the at the palace. And that is why I felt the title encapsulated the tragedy, really, that was her life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a lot of people don't realize that simultaneously, since there is really no chronology in the Bible, simultaneous with the book of Esther, there's crossovers with, say, the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel, and the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. They all knew each other. They were all compatriots around at the same time. And you seem to, you were able to weave that in together, which is Ezra, Daniel, and nobody else except Mordecai, as a member of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the men of the great assemblage, appears in the book of Esther. But you decided to bring them in to the story of the Gilded Cage.
Well, absolutely. Actually, when I started researching into it and realized that all these great people that you tend to think of them as, you know, they're separate books, so they're separate eras, but they all were contemporaries and they crossed paths and they were, when you start learning and reading into it, you see how so many of the things they came up with, the rules, the laws, that they were all related and made sense for the times that they were in. So for me, that was a discovery. And, I had to put it in because it just made sense. That mm-hmm. was, it made it more real.
Okay, so one of the main things, the way which I was taught, we were taught, one of the major emphases of the Lubavitcher Rebbe was the Torah is not a storybook, it's not a history book, but it's a lesson book. What lessons were you trying to convey to make people better in 2016 in The Gilded Cage, Queen Esther's Untold Story, Sarla?
Yep. Well, one of the things I should say that, you know, we look at Esther, she's supposed to be a heroine. A heroine is somebody that inspires us. And what made it Esther very inspiring and very contemporary is, you know, the fact that she found grace in everyone's eyes when she was taken forcibly from her happy life and thrown into a cage, really a prison. Imagine, you know, I imagine, like, in modern terms, of somebody who's married to a saintly man being taken captive in Ahmadinejad or Arafat's palace. And so, how would somebody who somebody who's depressed and miserable doesn't really find grace in people's eyes? So the fact that told me that she was able to have this grace, this inner peace, because she accepted everything that happened to her as from God, and that God has a intent and purpose in everything He does that is good, and it's something that we definitely all could learn from her, to sort of let go when you don't have control and let God run the scene, whether we're late, stuck in traffic, or suffered whatever trauma. You need to realize that God allowed that to happen to us, and He must have an intent that is ultimately good for us.
Pretty much one more question that's bothers me very often, maybe to get it from a woman's perspective. Jewish law mandates that a woman who was put into the situation that Esther was put into should suffer martyrdom rather than have to go live in the palace of this non-Jewish king. So I'm wondering, since Uncle Mordecai was the one who actually wrote the book, did he sort of like gloss over, try to make it more of a, you called it The Gilded Cage. Did he gold plate the story of what happened with Esther to cover over this?
Well, actually, I should correct you. I believe that he was cousin to Esther.
Okay.
At this point, Esther was taken by force, and it wasn't wasn't that she had the freedom to, you know, well, submit to this or die. And because there were, she was accepting, I guess, what was happening to her as this is from God, and they felt that there was a purpose behind it.
Okay. Very good. So that's going to do it for us today. Again, our guest today has been Sara Le Bronstein. The book is called The Gilded Cage, Queen Esther's Untold Story. I'm assuming it's available on Amazon and wherever else one can get books. And is there a Kindle edition yet, Sara?
Yes.
Oh, cool. And so you can get it. And if you want to really get the inside scoop on the Book of Esther and what's happening with Purim, so this is the book. What's up next in the hopper? It took you 7 years to write this, so I'm assuming that it'll be another 7 years or so before we get the next one then. Hey, Esther? Sarla?
Yeah, well, God willing, I've had many requests to take on many other biblical personalities, and God willing, I shall take on the story of Dina and Asnat, since not much is known from the plain text, but we do have a wealth of information from the Midrash and all the traditional classical Jewish commentaries that really should, you know, give justice to the story.
That sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to see that. I hope you remember to send us a copy, and we'll talk about that.
It won't take me another 6 years.
We'll see. Okay, we want to thank you so much for coming on, and wish you tremendous success, and especially in your shlichus in Davis.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman, that was fascinating. I love that interview. She's really a very smart woman. We've got up for your listening enjoyment. This is a remake, a remix as they call it, song that was done by A.B. Rothenberg maybe 15 years ago called A Little Kite, and it's done by Avrami Kalter.
Sky is bright and clear, the wind's blowing strong. Winter's past, now the sun's shining proud. What a glorious day to send up a kite, to dance and to soar high over the clouds. Traffic and noise, I ran to the park, an island surrounded with castles of stone. With my kite and a spool of clear plastic line, we journeyed together a long way from home. Little kite, tell me, for I cannot fly. Can you see distant oceans and mountains so high? But most of all, tell me, for I cannot see, is there God in heaven does he know of me? Lighter than air, my little kite flew, right in the wind like an eagle in flight. So far away now, just a speck in the sky, reaching the heavens, it vanished from sight. Little kite, tell me, for I cannot fly. Can you see distant oceans and mountains so high? But most of all, tell me, for I cannot see. Is there God in heaven? Does he know of me?
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, we have, the group is called the Kalmutnike Klezmer, which means, Kalmutnike means depressed, which is kind of interesting because the song is they're playing is called a Freilich, which means a happy. So this is a happy depression, I guess. Let's listen. Kalmutnike Klezmer, a little bit like Django Reinhardt there on the klezmer there going on. Up next, this is actually pretty amazing. Last week, we closed the show. What I do is, as I'm like closing down and winding things down, we play a little background music and then we fade out. And it's usually about 15 seconds of the song. We've received maybe 30, maybe three dozen requests that we play the song in its entirety, which is not, I'm not surprised because the artist in that song was the famed cantor Yusla Rosenblatt, who passed away in 1933. This is actually a 1932 recording of Hamavdil, which is a song which is sung generally on Saturday night, welcoming the new week. Let's listen to the famed Yusla Rosenblatt.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schulteman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion, which will be read in the synagogue, is the portion of Mishpatim can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 21 and following. It is a list of some 40 or so commandments, various different mitzvahs, most of which fit into the category, as the name indicates, Mishpatim, civil ordinances. There's the laws of what happens to a thief, and laws of lending and borrowing, and tort law of injury. All this, these things are all in there. There's also milk and meat, not mixing milk and meat. And then at the end of the portion, Moses talks about writing things down, the beginning of the Sefer Torah, the Torah scroll, which was not. It was just a book of remembrance. And the delineation of the borders of Israel, which we've talked about before. We're going to talk about the first commandment that is mentioned in this week's portion. And that is the word, is the commandment of slavery. Now, you would think maybe slavery would have a prohibition involved because Jews are so liberal and we're like way ahead of the times and forefront, et cetera, et cetera. But no, there's no such thing as a prohibition of slavery, but rather there are commandments of how one has to treat one's slave. And in fact, the first type of slave which is talked about, we wouldn't call that a person a slave at all. We would probably maybe call that person an indentured servant. If a person stole something, there's no jail time. The person had to pay back double the amount of what it was, or double the worth of what it was that he stole. He stole $1,000, he had to pay $2,000. Simple as that. Putting somebody in jail, putting thieves in jail together just makes them better thieves. So like this, we tell the guy, listen, crime doesn't pay. It's going to cost you big time. What happens? Listen, the guy stole it. Maybe he's poor. What does he do? Well, if he can't pay, he gets sold into slavery. What happens to him now is, well, basically he gets like a free meal ticket for like 6 years. He has to work for nothing, but he does get free room and board. And so does his entire family. And all of his kids get their education paid for because since he's now a slave, he can't pay anything because he doesn't have any income because he's a slave. And he has to work off his debt with a maximum of 6 years. It's very interesting as to all of the commandments that are mentioned in this portion. And it says, these are the civil ordinances. These are the things, and as Rashi comments, these should be so normative to you that it should be like a set table, a Shulchan Aruch, which is what the Code of Jewish Law is called. Set table, like it's just everything's out there spread out normal. And the first commandment, which is talked about, is, or all these commandments regarding slaves. The Almighty, I believe, knew that at some point in Jewish history that slavery was going to be irrelevant. And this commandment, we wouldn't be doing them anymore. But why have it then as the first commandment? Okay, do something about a cow goring an ox or a person falling to a hole or whatever, somebody hitting somebody else. These are things that still happen. To have this whole, it's a big part of the first part of the portion too, to dedicated to a commandment or commandments that have, right now we have no practical implication for. And this does happen in other places in the Torah, but here there's a way around it. We have options. There's 43 commandments, and this is the one that you choose first. The first type of slave, which is discussed in this week's portion, is called an Eved Ivri. A Jewish slave is the translation. The word Ivri, which is the root for the word Hebrew, you can kind of hear it. If you take the H off and just kind of pronounce Ivri, Hebrew, same, it's the same thing. Means somebody who passes over. As in, Abraham was called Abraham HaIvri because he passed over the Jordan and moved into Israel. He was from Aver HaYarden, from the other side of the Jordan. Same word. What type of Eved are we talking about over here? What type of slave are we talking about? Is someone who passes over, passes by, gives up something. Last week's portion, the last thing that we read about was the giving of the Torah. This week's, what are we trying to do? We think we have to keep the magnanimity going. We have to continue with this big ta-da-dum of receiving the Torah, the greatest manifestation of godliness wrought in the annals of history. And so we come back with the Eved Ivri. As we're told, we are the Almighty's Eved Ivri. We are the Almighty's slave that passes over our desires for mundane and our passions for things that we shouldn't have necessarily, or act on those passions. I can't say you shouldn't have the passions, but we shouldn't be acting on those passions, but to go over them, to pass them by. That's really why the first thing after the giving of the Torah, we start discussing these Hebrew slaves, because we all belong to God. Now, given that we all belong to God, and we look in the portion and we see, well, what are the responsibilities of the owner? The owner has to take care of us, has to feed us, has to provide shelter for us, can't tax us. There's a rule that says, overburden us. It says that if a slave is a diamond cutter, for example, you can't use them to dig ditches. You can only use them for diamond cutting. So here it is. God said we're like the chosen people. And therefore, God can only appoint us. He can't make our lives miserable. So those problems that we have, forget about it, God. You got to take care of them. You got to get rid of them. Ultimately, at the end of 6 years, which is all we need to be, so the slave goes free. So ultimately, we're thinking after 6 millennia, it should be before 6 millennia. It could work off beforehand. Mashiach comes. There's 6 years parallel to 6 millennia when we're told Mashiach must come. In 6 years, a slave must go free. But if the slave works off his debt beforehand, he goes free earlier. I think the Jews have worked off their debt. I think Mashiach should have come a long time ago, my personal opinion. So I'm challenging the Almighty. Time to free the slave. Take care of your slaves, God. That's us. We're going to take care of a little bit of business right now. We've got the Hasidic story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to rabbifinman.com. Yes, you'll find a way of getting in touch with me. That's what I just said. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which yours truly tries to make Judaism interesting, exciting, and fun. You'll also find the donations page. We are in February. The groundhog didn't see a shadow. I didn't hear what Pocketenny Phil did this week. I don't know. Did you hear it? No, he didn't hear my poor op doesn't even know what I'm talking about. And so winter's still here. We're well into 2018. We have to pay for January and February now. And I'm making this challenge. It is February the 4th. If we pay for January and February, I tell a longer story. I don't do an appeal for the rest of the month. So if we get in that much money between now and the next week, which will be February 11th, no more talking about donating. So go to the computer right now. Okay. Or here's an even better one. Most people are going to be listening to this, watching the Super Bowl today. And a lot of people got a lot of money on the Super Bowl. So a lot of people are going to be winning. I would say, since it's just winnings, you didn't really get it. So you don't have to work for it. Take half of it and donate it to the Jewish Hour. And that way you'll at least feel good. Oh, I did something really good with this money that I shouldn't have gotten because I took it from somebody else. But that's, we're not going to talk about gambling right now. Please gamble responsibly. Speaking of Super Bowl, tonight at Jewish Ferndale, 1725 Pinecrest Drive in Ferndale, we're having the non-Super Bowl party. For those people who don't really care about football or television commercials or the whole deal, but still want a party, we're having the non-Super Bowl party. It's $5 at the door, and we're doing Jewish trivia. Your knowledge of Judaism doesn't have to be a prerequisite. Prizes for everybody. Great food, great people. Come on down. 7 p.m. tonight at Jewish Ferndale. Hope to see you there. Back to the appeal. If you don't like internet donating, fine. Drop your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Do it today, please. Okay, this week's portion involves a whole bunch of Hasidic rabbis. There was some sort of a decree issued by the Russian government, and there was a convening of Hasidic leaders at the home of Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, which was in Berdichev. In attendance was the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and various and different other leaders. I don't know who was there. I think Elimelech Lizhansk was there, and I'm not sure who else was there. And the Alter Rebbe said that every person, there should be fight this, they needed funds, and there should be like a head tax. We have coming up this week, Parsha Shkalim already, yes, like a head tax, like half, a quarter of a ruble per person, and some say it was a quarter of a person's dowry, had to be contributed. And that was what was decided, what was needed for this cause. So the Alter Rebbe was sitting with his back to the door, and there was a knock at the door, and the Alter Rebbe said, the Shpeila Zeta is here. And in walked the Shpeila Zeta. I guess he knew how he knocked. And he told the Shpeila Zeta, listen, please eat. Come sit down and eat. And the Shpeila Zeta just walked back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he told him again, please, Zeta, come sit, eat. And Levi Yitzchak Berdichev said, you know that he doesn't eat from Saturday night to Friday night. And nonetheless, he said, please, Zeta, come sit down and eat. And he sat down and he started eating. Then there was a knock at the door, another one. And the Alter Rebbe said, oh, these are the representatives of Reb Baruch of Mezhebuzh. Baruch of Mezhebuzh was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. I believe he was the father, if I'm not mistaken, of Baruch, of Reb Nachman of Breslov, but I could be corrected on that. You can correct me at rabbifinman.com. And they came in and said, our Rebbe says that during the time of Haman, when there was a terrible decree against the Jews prayed. They didn't give quarters. So the Alter Rebbe responded, yes, that is correct. The time change. It says fasting, prayer, and charity. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Rip up horrible decrees. So you see that during the time of the book of Jonah, when Jonah was told to go and tell the people, the inhabitants of the city of Nineveh, the largest city in the world, that the city was going to be overturned, what did the people do? They sat and they fasted for 3 days, and the decree was overturned. During the time of Mordechai and Esther, they prayed. Mordechai got together all the people, and they did what they did. They prayed, and they learned Torah, and they rededicated themselves to Torah, to the ideals of Torah. So that already took care of the tshuva and the tefillah. Our generation now is a generation of tzedakah, a generation of giving charity. As it says, tzedakah tatzil memavus, charity saves a person from death, and that the giving of the charity is what will defeat this our adversaries. The messengers left, and the meeting continued. And indeed, according to the guise of the Alter Rebbe, the decree was overcome. It's not even recorded in the books what that was. So we see the great importance of giving charity and supporting charitable causes, such as the Jewish Hour, which is part of a 501(c) corporation and is also worthy of your tithing. We require, we rely heavily on charitable donations such as yours. So go to your computer, go to rabbifinman.com, and go on the donations page, click on any button, write in your own number. Any donation is gladly accepted and appreciated and acknowledged, and we'll thank you in advance. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Stay warm, stay safe. Take care.